Psalm 73. Psalm 73. We'll read verses 25 through 28. So Psalm 73, verses 25 through 28. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you would bless our time this evening. Father, I ask that you would guide us through the scriptures. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive the truth of your word tonight. Pray that you would encourage us, remind us of the truths of your word, draw us closer to you tonight. I thank you, Father, for the songs that we sang and how they would just remind us of the God that we follow, the Lord of the Savior who gave his life for us. And the fact is, Lord, that we are on the winning side and there is a place in heaven for us. And we thank you for that fact, Lord, that one day we'll see you face to face. And Lord, we can't even imagine what heaven is going to be like. But Lord, we know it's going to be great because you're there. And Father, we ask that you would please bless our time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the psalmist writes in verse 28, he says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." I want to remind us tonight to keep drawing near to God, even in the days that we live in. We're living in the days the Bible talks about where there'd be a great falling away, and many have fallen away by choice, choosing to walk away for one reason or another, maybe having, as the Bible says, itching ears, wanting to hear something new, something that fits their lifestyle, something that's less convicting. And yet we as God's people need to always seek God for him to convict our hearts so that we stay on the straight and narrow path. But we want to draw closer to God each and every day of our life. We don't want there to be a day that goes by where we don't seek the Lord with all of our heart. But we want to stay close by him, knowing that he promised if we draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto us. And we want God to continue to guide us by his wisdom. We want him to continue to order our steps, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We want God to continue to just fill us with his peace so that we don't get gripped with fear in the things that are happening in the world and in our country, but knowing that God's in control and that God can protect us. Whether we are like Daniel and thrown in the lion's den, whether we're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego facing a fiery furnace, that we are on the straight and narrow path, drawing closer to God because we know that God will take care of us. Tonight, I want us to be reminded of five things of why it's important for us to continue to draw close to God. And again, there are many ways that we can draw close to God, and there are several reasons why we should. I just have a few tonight to remind us about, because when you think about our forgiveness with God, it reminds us of our acceptance with God because of Jesus Christ. And that's the first thing I want us to be reminded of tonight, why it's important to keep drawing close to God or drawing nigh to God is because of the forgiveness that we have with God. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. It's important that we never forget what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. I think as we continue to remember what God has done for us and even remember the day that we got saved, that it will help us to stay close to the Lord. It'll help us to keep drawing upon his rest and his peace and his forgiveness and just his strength in the days that we're living in. And before I even read this, I mean, we're living in days that this country and this world has never experienced before. And it just points to the fact that we're getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. And it really should excite God's people, because everything that goes on in this world is just one step closer. I mean, all the mandates and just the different things going on and just the wickedness in the world, it just points to the fact the Bible's true, because Jesus said, just like it was in the days of Noah, it will be like when the Lord returns. And when you think back to the days of Noah, why did God destroy the earth? Because the imagination of their heart was wicked continually. And it will continue to get more wicked, but it should encourage us to draw closer to the Lord and to be ready for his return. In Luke chapter 7, look at verse 36 through 39. Keep drawing nigh to God because of the forgiveness that we have with God. Luke 7, look at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, you know, this is Martha, who is, Mary Magdalene, who is at the feet of Jesus. She comes in. There he's in the Pharisee's house. He's been bidden to come for a dinner. She comes in weeping at his feet, washing his feet with the tears coming from her eyes, drying his feet with her hair, anointing him with that alabaster box ointment, with the ointment in that alabaster box, just because of the goodness of God in her life. In verse 39, the Pharisee, who's the one that asked Jesus to come to dinner, he says, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Again, I'm glad that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. I'm glad that Jesus would sit among the publicans and the sinners and eat with them, and the fact that she would even come and do this deed upon Jesus. When you look down at verse 47 and 48, you know why she did this, but reminding us in verse 47, Jesus says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Why is it that we can continue to draw nigh unto the Lord? Because we're forgiven. And because we are forgiven, we're accepted of the Lord and we have a relationship with him. But again, we still live in a world where there's a spiritual battle. The devil still wants to put that wedge between us and our Savior. There are things that happen in our life, things that can cause us to become afraid, cause us to be discontent, but we've got to continue to draw nigh unto the Lord, even when we make mistakes, knowing that we have forgiveness with the Lord. That's the first thing that will cause somebody to stop drawing nigh unto the Lord, is when they stop believing they have forgiveness. When they start believing the lie that God only forgives a certain amount of times, after that you're not forgiven. Remember, Peter asked the Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And the Lord told him, 7 times 70. Because by the time you've done it 490 times and I've done it that many times to the same person, we should get to the point where we just basically turn them over to the Lord and say, Lord, they're in your hands. I forgive them. I mean, I'm not the judge. You're the judge. And when you get to that point, we're reminded as well, God has forgiven us over and over and over again. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't need the forgiveness of God on a daily basis. Because again, we're still sinners saved by grace. There's still, sometimes we have our feelings hurt and we have thoughts that are not right. Sometimes we have attitudes that are not right. We may say something that's not right. And we're thankful that we can draw nigh unto the Lord and ask for forgiveness, because we're accepted. We're accepted in the Beloved. I want you to look with me at Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Second thing I want you to think about in continuing to draw nigh unto the Lord, and why we can continue to draw nigh unto the Lord, is because He's the source of our healing. Until the day we meet our Savior face to face, we're going to be hurt in some way by somebody. Whether someone close to us, whether someone who's not so close to us, yet we will be hurt in different ways until we see our Savior face to face. In Psalm 147, let me get there. Verse number three simply says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. One of the toughest things to handle is when a friend stabs you in the back. And Jesus gives us the greatest example as Judas Iscariot comes to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, kisses him on the cheek as a sign to the mob, this is the one you need to take. And Jesus replies to his kiss, friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss? Now, without you saying it, I'm sure at some point in your life you've been hurt by someone you thought was your friend, someone you thought would never do you wrong, someone you thought, man, you can always trust in them. Now, I know that Judas Iscariot, he was the son of perdition. There had to be someone to betray Christ. But just the fact that Jesus allowed him to be a part of the ministry, Jesus provided for him, took care of him, was a friend to him. There's just times in our life where we're hurting. It may not necessarily be that someone did us wrong, but just our heart is hurting because of a loved one that passes on. Different things in life. And yet we know we can draw nigh unto the Lord. Listen, as he says in Psalm 147, verse 3, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. There is just times where we have to draw nigh unto the Lord so that He can spiritually help us. Again, until we see our Savior face to face, we have an adversary that's always fighting against our relationship with God. He's always, as the Bible says, a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's always trying to find a way in to cause us to believe that we no longer have forgiveness with God, to cause us to be brokenhearted in some way, someone has done us wrong and it offends us, it hurts us, and it does at times. But again, aren't you glad that Jesus never does you any wrong? Never. Never does you any wrong. You don't have to worry about him ever saying something wrong, saying something bad about you, stabbing you in the back. He's the one that is the friend that sits closer than a brother. But there are times where we need our hearts to be mended. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, he says, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart. If we're not careful, our heart that's sensitive can become hard as stone if we allow bitterness to remain in our heart, if we allow unforgiveness to remain in our heart because of what somebody has done, because of some situation that did not turn out the way that we wanted it to. Again, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. God promises to mend the broken heart and to bind up the wounds that we receive. Again, drawing nigh unto the Lord. There's nothing that should keep us from drawing close to the Lord. And I really believe in the days we're living in, we need to draw closer to the Lord, not further away. And I know I'm talking to the choir. I know I'm talking to people who are here for just about every service, unless you're out of town. But we still have to be reminded that as the days get tougher, and as we get closer to the return of Christ, and we get closer to that moment when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain are caught up in the air, it's going to get rougher. It's going to get worse. The world's going to fight more against God's people And we need to continue drawing closer to the Lord each and every day. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, as we think about another reason why we need to keep drawing close to the Lord or keep drawing nigh unto the Lord, is so that we can continue to learn. Because Jesus is the one whom we learn from. What is it that he wants us to do today, tomorrow, this week? What is it he wants me to do in my own spiritual life to help me to continue growing in my faith and prepare for even the next spiritual battle that will come against me? Because again, we are in a spiritual battle, lest we forget that we do have an adversary. Again, we've got victory. We don't need to fear him. But again, the Bible still tells us that we need to be vigilant. We need to be sober, all right? We don't need to just say, well, he's a defeated foe. I don't have to worry about him. That's exactly what our adversary wants. He doesn't want us to worry with him. He doesn't want us to continue to pray against him and can pray against his tactics and his fiery darts that he will throw at different times. In Matthew chapter 11, let's see here. Matthew 11. Back up to verse 28. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There in verse 29, Jesus says, learn of me. There are things that he still wants us to learn. And we have to keep drawing nigh unto him, even when you have to retake a test. And I've said before, I did not like going to school growing up. In fact, when I walked across the stage and got my high school diploma, that was the happiest day of my life. No more school. I am done with learning. But I quickly found out that you're not done learning. That's just the beginning. I mean, life is all full of lessons. But as a Christian, there are things that the Lord wants us to learn. He wants us to learn how to fight the spiritual battle, not in our own strength, but in the power and might of the Lord, taking up the shield of faith, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, putting on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand. Again, the Lord has given us victory, but we have to keep drawing nigh unto him. We have to keep trusting him. We have to keep following him. We have to keep believing what he's told us, and we need to keep taking up our cross daily. It is so important to stay in the Bible, because we can easily be deceived by the evil one who knows Scripture too. Because remember, the devil used Scripture against Jesus. Now, obviously, just like the Pharisees tried to trip up Jesus, you can't trip up the living Word. You can't trip up God. But yet, even the devil tried to use God's Word against him there in the wilderness 40 days after 40 days in the wilderness and being tempted by the devil. Again, the devil, again, wants to get you and myself off balance. God's put us on a straight and narrow path. He doesn't care if you go to the left or to the right. As long as he can get you off balance, get you off the straight and narrow, get you to stop following the Lord, and to get you off, you know, one side or the other. He doesn't care whether it's, you know, whether it's pushing you way to the one side of humility where you could be so full of humility that it's pride, or pushing you way off to the other side where it's pride. He wants to get you off track and me off track, because he doesn't want us to draw close to the Lord. Because what happens when you draw close to the Lord? The Lord will shine his glory in your life, and there'll be things that will be shown that aren't right, that we didn't know were there, or we didn't think was a big deal. But again, as Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I want you to look at Psalm 34 and verse 11. Continuing to learn from the Lord by drawing close to him every day. and Psalm 34, because with all the things going on in the world, what does it mean for a Christian? How does it relate to a Christian? Again, the devil doesn't want us to take the events that are happening in our world, in our country, and see how it matches up to Scripture. But when you look at it, and I'm not saying that, you know, our president is the Antichrist, but he is on the wrong side. He's on the wrong side of the fence. He's definitely not a born-again Bible believer. And there are many around this world that aren't. But again, over time, people have tried saying, well, this must be the Antichrist, this guy, that guy. But the Bible is clear to say the Antichrist will not be revealed until he that letteth is taken away, until the Holy Spirit is removed. And when the Holy Spirit is removed, the church is removed. Every born-again believer is removed. Now, there are things that will happen that could really test our faith and could really be detrimental to the church, to the body of believers, but we're still on the winning side. I still think it's going to get rough for God's people, but it's very important that we draw close to the Lord. And even as I think about it, Corrie ten Boom, being in those concentration camps, how in the world did she make it through those concentration camps? Power of God and the relationship she had with God. I mean, when you read her testimony and stuff, and just in some of the, I'll call them cabins that she was in, I mean, just her God being mocked, people mocking her, but yet her praying and God delivering. I mean, why would God allow an entire cabin, again, I'm calling it a cabin, this entire cabin where Corrie ten Boom were and some others, why would he allow that entire cabin to be filled with lice and nobody else, no other cabins, to protect her and those that were there? What I'm saying is continue to draw close to the Lord regardless of what happens in your life, regardless of what hardships come into your life, regardless of what difficulties, that we continue to draw close to God so that we will stay positive, knowing that we're following the one who has everything under control, the one who will supply all of my need, whatever it is I need, he will supply my need, and whatever happens, God's using it, and God will use it for good. In Psalm 34 and verse 11, as the psalmist writes, he says, Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We're living in a day and age where people don't fear God anymore. Unfortunately, that's even so among God's people, where there's a lack of fear. Again, not fear that the world teaches or the devil tries to instill in people, but the fear of the Lord that, you know what? God is my creator. God's my maker. He holds my very breath. The only reason why I'm alive is because of him. But again, fear of the fact that, you know what? I serve the one true living God. I shouldn't want to disappoint him. I should want my entire life to show that I serve the one true living God. No, I think fearing, you know, even there is a, I forget what the Bible, how the Bible just describes it, but there's a holy fear, and that's probably not the term it uses, but think about a child. Again, I feared my father. I knew he loved me, but I feared him because I knew if I stepped out of line, what I would get. But I knew that he loved me, all right? So, I mean, you think about the proper fear of God. You know he loves you, but you also don't want to just, you know, live your life however you want to, because, well, you know, God loves me and he'll forgive me. I think we still have to draw close to God. Does my life glorify God? Is God pleased with what I allow into my life, the things I do? Because, you know, again, as we draw and keep drawing close to the Lord, he's going to keep showing us things that are not right in our life, and we have to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, you know, you're right. I know that you have given me liberty, but not liberty to live my life how I want to, but to be able to live my life how it will please you and how it will show people the true living God that I serve. In Psalm 119 and verse 27, the psalmist writes, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." In Psalm 143 and verse 10, he says, "Teach me to do thy will." Teach me to do thy will. That is so important, because what is the will of God? What is the will of God for us? I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. Again, we're living in the Laodicean age. We're living in the age where there's lukewarmness among God's people. And when you read in Revelation, God says to the church at Laodicea, "I'd rather you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, and I vomit you out of my mouth." Again, living like, what is God's will? Lord, what would you have me to do today? How do you want me to live my life today, tomorrow, this week, so it brings honor and glory to you? In Romans chapter 12, you know the verse, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Just stopping right there, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, my life belongs to you. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, guide me according to your will. Lord, as I draw closer to you, mold me into the woman or man of God that you want me to be. Help my mind to really be the mind of Christ. Help my heart to really want to do your will and not just say, "The Lord knows my heart." And the scary thing is, the Lord does know my heart. He knows if my heart is right or not. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The only way we're going to know the perfect will of God is to continue drawing closer to God and letting God reveal in us what's not right, and showing us through his word and by his spirit what is right, what the Lord wants us to do, and what needs to change in our life. Dan, when you think about, you know, we've talked about Daniel in Sunday school. Think about, what is it that helped Daniel to face a den of lions? What is it that caused Daniel to go home and open up his windows and pray publicly 3 times a day like he had always done, knowing that if he's caught, he's going to be thrown in the den of lions? He didn't care. He was drawing closer to God. He knew the law was signed, but he kept drawing closer to God and kept drawing closer to God. How is it that Paul was able to finish his course with joy? How is it that Paul was able to get up after being stoned and left for dead and go right back into the city and not leave until the next day? Because he was still drawing close to the Lord. He was letting God work in his life, and he wasn't going to allow anything that this world threw at him to keep him from drawing closer to the Lord. If we want to finish our course with joy, if we want to fulfill the perfect will of God in our life, we have to continually, day after day after day, draw nigh unto the Lord. And he promises, "Draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you." That encourages us, and that helps us to know that God will give us the ability to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish, to continue to be the testimony he wants us to be, and to finish our course with joy. Again, I know that we have the gift of salvation as a born-again believer trusting in Jesus Christ. Nothing can take that away from us, but let's have the desire to finish our course with joy, that, you know what? Den of lions, fiery furnace, whatever may come. You know, it's been said for years, and I say years upon years, ever since the Bible's been preached, ever since the Word of God's been preached, is that in our country one day they could take away our rights to assemble in a church. I mean, that's just one little pinstroke away. What would keep us, and I say us as in God's people, what would keep us from staying faithful to God? The only thing that's going to help us to stay faithful to God is to continue drawing close to God, continue drawing upon His strength and His rest, and asking God, you know, help me to learn how to face what I'm facing. Help me, Lord, to learn how to face the future of what may come by learning how to follow today, by learning how to submit to You and to allow You to guide my steps. I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We need to keep drawing nigh unto the Lord, because He is the one to whom we owe our gratitude to. He's the one that we owe our gratitude to, and the best way to show our gratitude to the Lord is to continue seeking Him every day and following His directions as He teaches us, following His word as He teaches us. Excuse me, Luke 17, look at verse 12 through 16. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. When you think about giving the Lord thanks, and you think about this account in Scripture of the 10 lepers, and all 10 were cleansed, but only one returned to give glory to God, and Jesus recognizes it, all right? He recognizes all 10 were cleansed, but one was so thankful that he came back to glorify the Lord. As we continue to draw close to the Lord, we're reminded of what God has done in our life, and we should be thanking the Lord for where we're at in our life. But Paul said it was by the grace of God that he was who he was. Born again, saved, on his way to heaven, that Jesus would even, I'll say, take time out of his schedule to stop a man dead in his tracks that was killing Christians, to turn his life around. In fact, giving thanks to the Lord, as we continue to draw nigh unto the Lord, thanking the Lord even where you're at in your life right now. And you might say, well, Pastor, you don't know where I'm at in my life right now, and I am not thankful for it. There's things in my life that's happened I'm not thankful for, but I can still thank the Lord for it because it has shown me that God is still good and God can take whatever's happened and use it for good. Again, remember, God didn't save us to give us a life full of roses without thorns, but a new life in Christ to show us the power of God in our life, to show us that we are on the winning side and that God's always there for us regardless of what happens. Again, when you read in Scripture, we're just reminded, listen, history repeats itself. History repeats itself. Back at the Tower of Babel, why was the Tower of Babel even erected, and why were they building it? Because there was one guy that wanted to solely be in charge of the world at the time. There was one guy that wanted to be worshiped, and God separated them. God confused their languages. And guess what? I mean, the Bible says there's going to come another one world government, another one world religion. But it's all for God's glory. It's all to bring about the final judgment. And what I want us to be reminded of is, as Bible students, looking in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, it's not just history we're reading, but it's the future as well. When you get to Revelation and you start reading Revelation, I mean, just the fact that God is going to set everything straight. But you and I have to continue drawing close to God because we don't know how bad it will get before the church is raptured out. Now, we're not going to go through the 7 years that the world is going to go through when God pours out his judgment and starts pouring out the vials and all of that and his wrath. But we don't know how it's going to be before the trumpet sounds for the church. Because again, listen, the devil knows his time is short, but he also knows he's a defeated foe, all right? And again, the world fights against the things of God. The devil fights against you. I mean, we're in a spiritual battle. But yet we're on the winning side, and we can't allow ourselves to become, I don't know what type of what word I want to use, but I guess I'll say lazy spiritually, that we stop seeking God, we stop drawing close to the Lord, and we stop asking God to guide our life and to give us the faith to keep going on, the strength just to every day live for the Lord. Drawing nigh unto the Lord gives us the strength we need, gives us the confidence we need in the Lord, gives us the rest that we need. It reminds us that God has forgiven us and he's not going to forsake us. And it reminds us to thank the Lord for even allowing us to have the life that he's given us. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything we have comes from the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Now, God's given us a life to enjoy. And we need to thank the Lord for the good times, but we need to thank him for the bad times too, because we can learn from the bad times. We can learn where we're weak in our faith. We can learn where we need to grow. We can have the Lord to teach us. And it helps us to draw closer to him, but we can't stop thanking him even for the bad and the good. Last place I want you to look is look back at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. The last thing I want you to think about in drawing close to the Lord and continuing to draw nigh unto the Lord is the fact that it helps us to be reminded of the one who gives us the rest that we need. There's just times where we need spiritual rest. I mean, we need physical rest. There may be times where you're physically fatigued, but God has given you rest in your soul. In Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through 27, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Now we know this is the man that was possessed with demons. This is the man that the townspeople tried to control. This man's life was out of control. I mean, somewhere he got off track. Somewhere he opened up the door to satanic activities in his life, and it took over his life. You and I may not get into satanic activity, but life can take its toll because there's battles, there's just good days and bad days. Jesus is the one that still puts us in our right mind. Because again, as the devil fights against us and uses things in our life, he wants us to give in. He wants us to be so wore down in the spiritual battle that we just faint. And the Lord says, pray without fainting. In verse 35, Luke chapter 8, verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The devil loves getting into the minds of people. He did that from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, getting into Eve's mind, causing her to start thinking instead of trusting what God had already said. Times where, again, the devil wants God's people to be full of fear, anxiety, and doubt. And yet God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And we're just reminded with this man, and I love the fact, really, that God uses a lot of extreme cases in the Bible to show us that if God can do it in the most extreme cases of a man in the state that he's in, and then when the people come back to look at him and see him clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid and asked Jesus to leave. I mean, it freaked them out that this man was so calm and in his right mind, because they tried everything to control him and they couldn't. But see, that's what Jesus does for us. He helps us to be calm in our spirit, because the things that you hear and see in this world can cause you at any given time, if you allow it, to become anxious and fearful and doubtful and start questioning God. But when we sit at the feet of Jesus and we draw nigh to the Lord, it helps us to be in our right mind that, you know what? God's fully in control. There's nothing to worry about. I know that God has a perfect plan for me today, for tomorrow, for this week. And I just have to trust him and keep crying out to him, keep following him. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 11. Again, your adversary will continue to work hard to try to get you to keep drawing close to the Lord. But as we're reminded of the forgiveness that we have with God, Lord, forgive me for not trusting you yesterday. Help me, Lord, today to fully trust you. Whatever it is. Trusting the Lord because we have forgiveness with him. Knowing that we can learn from the Lord. He will teach us. Many sat at the feet of Jesus just learning what he said. I remember even when he sat in the synagogue and taught, they marveled at the fact that he taught with authority and with power the scriptures, because he is the Word. He is the Word, and he wants to comfort us. He wants to give us direction in our life. He wants to build our faith all through his Word. Again, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know these things tonight, but these are the very things that the devil will continue to try to fight against to keep us from drawing nigh unto the Lord, to stop drawing our strength from the Lord and our peace from the Lord. He wants us, and I say us, not necessarily us in this room, but us as in all God's people, and maybe listening, maybe watching, that the devil will continue to fight against your relationship with Christ, to try to wear you down and try to get you to think that he has no power, that everything that's happening in this world he has no authority over, because if he did, he wouldn't be allowing it to happen. Well, he allows death to happen. He allows the saints of God to pass on. Why? Because the death of a saint are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Because God wants us to be with him, where there is no death, there is no more sin, there's no more struggle, right? There's no more spiritual battle. The things that we're looking forward to be in that place where there is no more struggle, there's no more spiritual battle. But we got to remind ourselves that if we want rest, we have to keep coming unto the Lord, keep drawing nigh unto him. I want you to go back to Psalm 73, and we'll end with Psalm 73. And just verse 28. "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." I love the way the psalmist phrases it, I believe by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and his own experience in his life. "But it is good for me to draw near to God." It is good for God's people to continue drawing near unto God, because, as he says in the second half, "I've put my trust in the Lord God." You've put your trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And we need to declare his works and remind our own selves the goodness of God in our life and what God has done, the fact that God will continue to do what he has intended to do. I'm glad that nothing escapes him. I'm glad nothing is a mistake with him and he's not having to come up
with plan B. From the beginning of time, everything has been going according to his plan. And one day it's going to come to a head where the final judgment is poured out upon this earth. But you and I don't have to worry about it. But we do need to continue praying about events in this world and continue praying for one another, praying for those that are weak in the faith, that God would help strengthen them, that they would be able to continue on in the spiritual battle with the help of the Lord and the power and strength of the Lord, but God would help us to continue drawing close to him and to have that heart's desire that we seek God every given moment. I know you do, but again, we have to be reminded, we got to keep drawing nigh unto the Lord because he's our strength. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our rest. He's everything we need. And God wants us to help encourage others as well that Jesus Christ is the answer.